I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Now that Hallelujah. Oh, come on, put your hands together, amen, and rise to your feet. Our pastor is in the house, amen. Our anointed father is in the house, amen. Oh, shall we make some noise as we welcome Apostle Joel, amen. Come on now, put your hands together.
Woo. It's a blessing to be here today. Amen. Right. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for keeping us alive and for blessing and protecting us. Today we ask, Lord, that you will visit us. May the Holy Spirit be with us. Guide us into all truth, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Powerful. You may be seated, please. Amen. Right. Now, today, we're going to have also our graduation from our lay schools. Okay. Our first round of lay school teachings. Amen. And so we'll do that right after I finish sharing these few scriptures with you. Amen. Now, today I want to share with you, from on Wednesdays I've been sharing from the book, It is the Great Thing to Serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. And we're enjoying the messages on Wednesdays. And I want to encourage you to start coming to church on Wednesdays. Do you get it? You've been coming on Sundays for some time. Time to upgrade and move up. Amen. Do a little more. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage all of you to start coming to church on Wednesday evenings. Amen. And it will be a blessing to you. Do you see? Wednesday evening is like a kind of top-up. Just to help stay on fire throughout the rest of the week. And the Bible teaches Hebrews 10 and 25 that we should not neglect the habit of, or not the assembling of ourselves together. Can we read it together, everybody? One, two, three, go. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. As the manner of some is. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. So the Bible says some people are like that, isn't it? Ask your neighbor, are you one of the some? Yeah. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, you know. So God knows all those who don't do that. But I really want to encourage you, amen, to start coming to church on Wednesdays. And I promise you, your Christian life will go one notch up. Amen. Amen. And it will be a blessing. Hallelujah. Now, today, I just want to share with you just from one of the chapters in the book, which talks about protection for the servants of God. Protection for the servant of God. Divine protection. Hallelujah. So, number one, it is a great thing to serve the Lord because when you are a servant of God, He will mark and protect you. God will mark and protect you. God protects His servants. Hallelujah. How many of you here consider yourselves servants of God? Raise up your hand. Let me see. Raise up your hand. Let me see. Wonderful. Amen. Now, I'm talking about servants of God. That's different from children of God. Servants of God are children of God who work for God. Do you understand? Servants of God are children of God who serve God also. Amen. I think that being a child of God does not automatically translate into being a servant of God. Do you understand? But you can be a servant of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because in the Bible, many ordinary people were servants of God. Isn't it?
Yeah.
We know that prophets and apostles and pastors and so on are traditionally called the servants of God. If I introduce someone to you and I said to you that this person is a servant of God, you would probably assume that means he's a pastor or, you know, a preacher of some sort. Do you see? Right. But when you look in the Bible, you see that other people were servants of God who were not prophets. They were ordinary people, people like Isaac and Jacob and Abraham. We're all called servants of God. Hallelujah. Look at Exodus chapter 32 and verse 13. It says, "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thy own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto thy seed." Amen. Amen. So you see that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, thy servants. But these people were not priests. Abraham was a businessman. You know, Isaac was also a businessman. You know, Israel, which is the name of Jacob, he also was a businessman. Do you see? These are all the stars in the Bible, all the main guys in the Bible. Apart from the prophets, you know, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. All the more popular guys like David and Solomon and Abraham and Isaac. And all those people were not priests. As a matter of fact, you will find that they were all sort of associated with some priest or some prophet. But they were more popular than the prophet. Do you understand? I mean, it's because of David that we get to know Nathan. You see, it's David who sort of helps us to know Nathan. You see, so Nathan is like someone who has a secondary. If it was a movie, it would be about David. And then Nathan will get a back pass in the whole show. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's not even about Nathan. It's about David. And Nathan just comes in for a small part. But it looks like God has a lot of dealings with people who are not priests. They are not pastors. They are just ordinary, regular people. But they are called servants of God. In addition to anything else they do. Amen. And a servant is simply one who promotes the interests of another person. Do you understand? One who serves the interest. If you're someone's servant, it means you live and you exist to serve that person's interest. Do you understand? Maybe employee would help us to understand it. Because if you have a job and you're not the owner of the job, as in the owner of the company or organization you work for, then you work for someone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So then in a sense, you are a servant to that person because you work for, you do what the person wants you to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your job description is not what you bring from your home, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your job description is what they give you when you arrive. So today you're working here, today you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And then when you refuse to do it, that's where you part ways, isn't it? So a servant of God is one who promotes the interest of God. And I want you to, you know, aspire and decide to be a servant of God.
Amen.
One who promotes the things of God.
Amen.
Can I have an amen?
Amen?
You should be interested in God enough to promote his interests.
Wow.
To live for his purposes.
Wow.
And to add yourself to anything God is doing. Amen. Now, when you become a servant of God, then you would be like these guys, like Moses. Moses was not a priest. You see, Moses was, well, the Bible says he was a prophet, but not a prophet in the sense like Isaiah and Jeremiah, you know, like a prophet in a temple. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, but he was like a leader. He was like a head of state, but he was still a servant of God. Then I mentioned David. Then Daniel, isn't it? Did you say Daniel? Yeah, Daniel. Daniel was also a prime minister, isn't it? He was a politician, you know, who was working for the government, do you see? But he was also called a servant of God. Hallelujah. So how many servants of God are here today? Because you can be a student, but still be a servant of God. Yeah. And you can be working in a bank and still be a servant of God. In addition to whatever else you do, make sure you add this all-important credential to your titles. Amen. That you are a servant of God. Introduce yourself proudly as a servant of God. Why don't you introduce yourself to someone right now and just, my name is... Mention your name and then add servant of God. I'm a servant of God. I'm a servant of God. You know. Yeah. Do you see? Yeah. And once you're a servant of God, then you begin to experience the fact that it is indeed a great thing to be a servant of God. Your greatest blessing is to be a servant of God. Now, so what? Back to what I'm sharing with you, which is the protection that servants of God enjoy. Hallelujah. And I'm saying that number one, God will mark you and protect you. God will mark you and protect you. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. These must be mighty angels. They can hold winds. You get it? Yeah, the angels have just divided the earth into just four. One there, one there. And one there, one there. Do you get it? And they are holding winds. Do you understand? Yeah. And they were holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Okay? And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. So the four angels had been given power to hurt the earth. Do you understand? These are serious, supernatural, spiritual things. And so the fifth angel came and he cried, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Can you understand that? He said, don't touch this. Don't destroy anything until we have put a seal on all the servants of God. Hallelujah. Now, anytime destruction is coming, God seeks to mark his people for exemption from the destruction. Hallelujah. So you can see from this scripture here, it says, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Hallelujah. You can see from the scripture that because you are a servant of God, when you become a servant of God, because this is, you didn't say children of God, this is for servants of God. Do you understand? That's why I'm counseling you today to upgrade your relationship with God to the level of a servant. Do you understand? Yeah, because the level of a servant now opens up a whole new world of privileges and blessings to you. People who actually serve. Do something. That's why you have to do something for God. There has to be something you do, which you do for God. Hallelujah. Amen. Not for yourself. You do it for God. Hallelujah. And that's very important. So you see, he says, don't hurt the earth until we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43 and verse 4, he says, since you are precious in my sight, I have loved thee, and I will give men in exchange for your life. Hallelujah. So God's servants are very precious to him. Hallelujah. Very, very precious to him. And if we were not servants of God, perhaps we may not even be alive. Are you getting it? But God's servants are very precious to him. And God, you if you will become a servant of God, you will add yourself to that category. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Do you know that Jesus spoke about, it was not Jesus telling us. It is a real story that happened. A centurion who had a servant, and his servant was very dear to him. Do you understand? See, it's not easy to have someone who does what you want. It's not easy. Most people do what they think you want. Do you see? But it's not easy to get someone who is able to figure out what you want and how you want it, and who will do what you want in the way you want it and when you want it. Do you understand? Yeah. Sometimes it's all mixed up. Either they're doing what you want, but not when you want it. You see, or they do it when you want it, but it's not what you want. You get it. Or it's what you want when you want it, but not in the way you want it. You see, so there's always people trying to do one or two, but not all three. You see, so this centurion servant was precious in his sight. Do you see? And I remember how the Bible says he was sick, you know. You can go back to the beginning of the story. It says, before that. You see, when Jesus was come into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. And verse 6. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. You know, and Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And then the centurion answered and said, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Right? So now this is a person, you know, who's appealing and interceding for his servant, because his servant is precious to him. Do you understand? So I want to encourage you to become a servant of God. And as you become a servant of God, you're going to be even more precious to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, I will give men in exchange for your life. Wow. This is a very, very powerful 5-star type of scripture. Hallelujah. Right. Now, the second thing is that he will lose you out of your bondages. Yeah. When you are a servant of God, he will lose you out of your bondages. Right. Psalms 116 and verse 16. Psalms 116 and verse 16. He says here that, Lord, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant, the son of my of thy handmaid, thou hast loosed my bonds. Hallelujah. I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Hallelujah. Then the next verse says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. So here he's saying that God will deliver his servants from any type of bondage. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
God will deliver you from any type of bondage. Anything you can't seem to break out of. Anything that seems to tie you up. That seems to take you prisoner. You know you don't want to live like this, but you can't help but live like that. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And God says he will loose his servants out of their bonds. These are special blessings for the servants of God. Hallelujah. He cares so much for us, and he will not allow us to be kept in bondage. Because when you are bound to something, then you are a servant to that thing. Do you get it? Yeah. And everyone who has a servant wants the servant exclusively to himself. Is it not true? Yeah. Imagine if you have a job and then you work up to 10 o'clock, then you tell them, you know, excuse me, I have to go and work a little bit on the other side. You know, I'll come back later. You know, and you leave. And you come back at 1 o'clock and you are trying to continue from here. And then at 4 o'clock you are leaving again. No, they don't want that. Nobody wants that. Do you understand? Yeah. For the time that you are contracted to work for them, they want you to be there and to be for them and them only. What do you think? Yeah. So that is how it is for the servants of God. Amen. Then number three, it is a great thing to serve the Lord, because when you are a servant of God, he will cut off your enemies. He will cut off your enemies. Hallelujah. He will cut off your enemies. God will cut off your enemies. See, enemies are people you acquire when you begin to become significant. Any important person has enemies. Since Donald Trump became president, he has more enemies than he has ever dreamt of in his whole life. More enemies have come up. Do you understand? So the more important you become, the more enemies you acquire. And as God blesses you, you're going to become important. Amen. Amen. And you're going to have also enemies. Now, Psalms 143 and verse 12, it says, and of thy mercy, Psalm 143, of thy mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all of them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Wow. Hallelujah. I like this one because, you know, the word soul is very attractive to me, because your soul is your mind, your soul is your emotions, and your soul is the part of you that actually can be disturbed. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. When someone is not happy, usually it has to do with their soul. You get it? When someone is depressed, it has to do with their soul. It's in the realm of the soul that people get depressed, that people feel unhappy, that people cry, people are not sure what's going on, they become anxious, you know. It's all in the soul. Do you understand? And so he says that, destroy all of them that afflict my soul, because I'm your servant. Amen. Because you are his servant, God will destroy anything that afflicts your soul, anything that disturbs your peace. God will cut it off. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Expect God to cut off the things that afflict your soul. Yeah. Yes. If you know anything that disturbs you, anything that is a constant source of unhappiness for you, speak to it and say, look, I'm the servant of God. Yeah. Do you understand? I belong to God. I live for God. I serve God. I'm not just a child of God. I am a servant of God. And therefore, anything that afflicts my soul is being destroyed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Anything that disturbs your soul will be destroyed. Because you are the servant of God. Hallelujah. It's not possible to live or go through this life, or it's not likely that you will go through this life without these kinds of enemies. Things that really disturb you. Things that make you unhappy. Things that get you down. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Things that make you not want to smile. Things that make you not want to talk to anybody. Things that make you sometimes want to lock yourself up in a room. You know, things that make you lose appetite. You get it? You who likes to eat. You get it? Yeah. Who you? You know, some people really have a gift of appetite. You know, it's, they are blessed. You get it? Yeah. Some people are gifted. Gifted in that area. You see the thing? They their taste buds are alive. You know. And they are gifted with ability and capacity. Yeah, you get it. So they have the interest, the passion, the drive, and then they also have the ability to handle it and the capacity to contain it. You get it. You see the thing? It's all. They are all gifts. You see, so you see such a person, and then he cannot eat. You see, he cannot eat. For some reason, he doesn't feel like eating. Usually it is because something is disturbing them. Sometimes financial issues. Yeah, money matters. Just disturbing you. Do you get it? Sometimes relationship matters. Yeah. Relationship matters. Making the soul sick. And the soul just downcast. Do you understand? Sometimes just your own personal anxiety. You know, one of the common culprits is when people evaluate themselves. You know, just you by yourself with your own marking scheme. You just draw a marking scheme for your life. Then you start to check the things. You know, so you, the examiner and the student are the same person. You know, and the examiner can be so cruel to the student. The examiner will just, you know, and then fail the student. How does the examiner fail the student when the examiner is the same as the student? But there are people who do that. There are people who are very cruel to themselves, who tear themselves apart. You see what I'm saying? Who say very mean, wicked things to yourself. It's like some of the meanest things you've ever heard. You heard them from you. Nobody told them to you. You said it to yourself. Do you see what I'm saying? That you're a failure. That you never amount to anything. That you haven't amounted to anything. If you haven't come up to anything by now, then you are doomed. It looks like this is how it's going to be. You see the thing. And then you start to fold yourself up and you start to look inward. And then all kinds of, you know, emotions and feelings descend upon you. And you don't even know how to find your way out. Your soul is afflicted. But God will cut off your enemies. Amen. I said, God will cut off your enemies. Amen. God will cut off anything that afflicts your soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The reason, because you are his servant. Yeah. When you work for a good person, you notice that they observe also your moods. They can tell that you've come to work today, but you're not yourself. And they ask, is everything okay? Do you understand? And often they try. They try to make everything, whatever it is, they try to make it okay. You know, that's when you say your child is sick. And they say, oh, go home. You know, that's when they tell them you don't have a car. They say, here's my car. You know, that's when you tell them, I have this problem or that problem. And they say, that's because a good boss, his aim is to keep his servant happy. Are you getting what I'm saying? And God is the best boss. I said, God is the best boss. He's the best person to work for. And if his servant is not happy, he will cut off the enemies. God will cut off the enemies. The things that afflict his servant, God will cut them off. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The book of Daniel is a good one for this particular one. Daniel chapter 6. And we read about how some people were jealous of Daniel. You know, Daniel chapter 6. And if you read from verse 1, Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, it pleased Darius, who was the king, right, to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. So you see, it's not strange that bosses have favorites. You'll be making a mistake if you assume that equal qualification equals equal or equal favor, or that you should be equally favored, you know. But it's not like that. People who are hired to do the same thing don't enjoy the same level of favor. You need to get used to that. Don't even start having an attitude and start saying that, but we are all working here and we're all doing this. How come some people are getting this and how come others are not? How come some people are getting it? That's not how the world works. Do you understand? There is a standard where everybody is brought to. Then beyond that, there is also prerogative. Do you see? There is also preferences. You see that this man has appointed princes and given everybody a share. But he said Daniel, out of them, was the preferred one. Do you understand? Daniel was the preferred one. That is why the Bible says, you know, let me just take a little side journey. Proverbs 22 and verse 1, I think. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than riches. Can you see that? Then it says loving favor. Loving favor. Anytime you have an option between loving favor and silver and gold, it says you must choose loving favor. Hallelujah. You must choose loving favor. To be loved and favored, do you see, it's more precious than to be paid a lot of money. Amen. Amen. Fight for love and favor instead of fighting for a bigger paycheck. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Instead of having an attitude and fighting with everybody at the workplace and fighting the boss and, you know, just twisting and just looking contorted and distorted in your face and and happy all the time. Do you understand? Fight for loving favor. Loving favor means you are the one they like. You are the preferred one. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Because long after qualifications have stopped working, loving favor continues to work. Loving favor is able to promote people above what even certificates. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. You can have whatever qualifications and whatever certificates. If you are preferred, you will be preferred. So he says, fight for loving favor. Choose loving favor rather than silver and gold. Amen. So when you work somewhere, don't fight over money. Just fight to be the preferred one. All the preferred ones don't lack money. Do you understand? Yeah, all the preferred ones don't lack money at all. They don't have any problem with money. So that's a higher thing to go for. Amen. Right, so back to Daniel. So Daniel chapter 6. It says, over these, Daniel was the preferred one, and the king was even thinking. He said it was because, not look at that verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Why? Why? Because he was more qualified than all of them. Is that what it says? Because he had a master's degree, which the others didn't have. Is that what it says? But because of what? Excellent spirit. That's character. 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 Do you see what I'm saying? It says because inside him there was something that the others didn't have. Even though they were all equally qualified, they must have been equally qualified to be appointed to the same position. Do you understand? But after the qualifications have finished working, then what is inside you as a person? Do you understand? You know, you need to watch that. Let me just take some time to talk about that. You need to watch that thing inside you that makes them choose somebody else over you. You need to watch that thing. Sometimes you complain that others are favored, or that why, how come they treat this one better? Or this one seems to get a better treatment. But this is the reason. That if you watch carefully, there's something usually about the other person that is different from you. Do you understand? There are those, even when there's work to do, there are those who are looking to do the least of it. Yeah. Do you understand? There are those who are always, even before the job is started, they measure the coordinates, they calculate how much, is how long it's going to take to do, and then they start, even before they touch the work. You get it? And then there are those who you also ask, do something, and they just start doing it. So if you are the boss, who will you be asking to do things? You get it? You don't want to ask someone to do something, and you always have to hesitate, think a little bit, should I? Is it too much? You know, people don't like that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, people don't like that. They don't like people who are always measuring and always calculating. If I do 3 inches, then others must also do some. I've done this up to this point, so others must also, you know. And you're always just splitting hairs over who is doing how much and who is doing what. That attitude is not going to make you the preferred one, I tell you. No. Your qualification will get you to a place with everybody else. But after that, anyone who crosses the line into any higher level of privileges and blessing, that favor is because of how the person is. Are you getting what I'm saying? And we all have different temperaments and so on, and different personalities. As long as your face is different, you get it. It's likely that your temperament is also different. Do you understand? And you have character adjustments that need to be made. You have personal. Nobody owes you acceptance. No one owes you acceptance. Everybody has the right to choose. And people choose you based on how you present. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if you present an ugly part of yourself, you shouldn't be surprised that you are not chosen.
Amen. You shouldn't be surprised that you are not chosen. Chosen for a job, chosen for marriage, chosen for whatever, anything. Just you can't have a certain attitude and still require people to choose you. It's not going to work like that. So work on yourself. Amen. Yeah. Develop the fruits of the Spirit. You can be and must be a nice person. What do you think? You can be a nice person. Nice person. Yeah. I mean, don't you do that yourself? Don't you meet people? Sometimes you don't even say anything, but the person comes around. Maybe it's not even your friend, your friend's friend. And the way he comes around shouting and so, you just develop a dislike for him in your head, which is not announced. Is it not true? Yeah. It's like, I don't like people who are too loud. I don't like people who are, then you just keep it to yourself. So if you had to choose someone to ride with, someone to go somewhere with, you find yourself saying, oh, I'll walk. you find yourself choosing to walk. It's the same. You see, you have also skipped someone. Yeah, same way. So if you don't work on yourself also, you get it. You don't work on, you see some people, they don't smile. I mean, you don't smile. I mean, smile is free. That one too, you won't do. Then if we had to pay to smile, what would you do? Yeah. I mean, you don't smile. I mean, just make your face nice. I mean, why? Yeah. You see, and you create... You know, you put everybody in some kind of a pensive mood. You get it? Everyone is tense around you. Because they don't know that is just, that's how you are. They think they have done something. Do you understand? They feel like they have done something wrong. So you make them nervous. Your presence makes them nervous. And the person is there just, and they can't wait to get out of your presence. Do you understand? Yeah. Then they are arranging carpools and they say, okay, you are going with this. And the person just walks around, please, can I come with Uber? Can I come with the Uber, please? Yeah. Even for a short ride, they are avoiding you. Why will they choose you for a lifetime of work? It's not likely. Amen. You know, the Bible says, he that must have friends must show himself friendly. It means it depends on you. Do you understand? It means being chosen depends on you. It's actually you. You have to do something. And you shouldn't assume that, well, that's how I am.
Hey, change.
That's how you are. Your hair, is that how it was? is that how your hair was? Can you just say, that's how I am? Everybody comes a certain way. You get it? Then you have to trim. You have to shape up. You have to work up. You have to sort of develop. You have to improve. Do you understand? And shape up to become something that is desirable. You get it? So you can't just say that's how. You fixed your hair. Fix your character also. Also, it can be fixed. You can change from a non-smiling person into a smiling person. Yeah. You can literally stand in front of the mirror and choose your look. Yeah. You just arrange it.
You're helping me.
then the one that pleases you the most, you save how you did it. Yeah, you take a selfie of it. Okay. And then you save that, the settings on that one. You get it? The look that you prefer the most. Yeah. Then you save that. Well, everyone can do it. Everyone can improve. Do you get it? Everyone can improve. Otherwise, you'll be surprised that you'll be going through life and you'll be complaining. You say, I can't find this. I can't get this. I can't get this. But you're actually sending forth a message about yourself. Do you understand? Yeah. You don't know that you are actually introducing and presenting yourself wrong. And because of that, you're not being chosen. Do you see? Yeah. But Daniel was the preferred one because he had an excellent spirit. He was qualified enough to be one of the 120 princes. And he was not the only one of them. There were 120 people who had the same qualification. So all of them had been hired. But after they've been hired, Daniel was the preferred one. So don't be surprised if Daniel is the one who travels most with the president. Don't be surprised. You get it? And you can get together with some people and start to gossip. I see that there's favoritism in this place. It's actually racism and this type of things in this place, you know, because they seem to like it. It's because they say, because I'm this, it's because I'm that, you know. Yeah. You see? And of course, the easiest one is to blame it on the skin color. You get it? This is the easiest one. You get it? But, you know, there is a level at which skin color doesn't matter. There really is. Do you understand? Who would you rather prefer? Someone who has a certain skin color, but who is wicked and unpleasant to be with. Or another person who has the opposite skin color, but who is nice and pleasurable to be with. Who would you rather choose? Yeah. When you find what you want, you don't care in what box it arrives. Yeah. If it's what you want. If it's what you want. Yeah. The only time people reject things is when the box is nice, but what is in it is not what you want. Do you get it? If what is in it is not what you want, it doesn't matter how beautiful the box is. You send it back. Do you get it? Yeah. So a man that has friends must show himself friendly. Amen. Man that has friends must show himself friendly. So that is a very important point. But I think we are just talking about protection of servants. So just Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Look at it. The king is planning, has big plans for Daniel. And that's all based on his character. Do you see? Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. You see, look at it. They are jealous, you know, concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Do you see? Yeah. Because faithfulness runs across. When you develop your personality, when you develop and work on yourself, you find it cuts across. People enjoy it everywhere. So here you are. They couldn't find anything against Daniel. They couldn't fault him anywhere. Do you understand? And it's not like Daniel was trying to be perfect. He was just being himself. Do you understand? Yeah. And then he says, these people said in verse 5, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, you know, and so on. They made the king make a very stupid rule. And then it set a trap for Daniel. And Daniel fell into that trap. You see, in verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. You get it? Look, when your boss sets his heart on you to deliver you, it's like the policies of the company have caught you. That's what happened. The people got the king to make a rule that anybody who doesn't bow down at a certain time will be put in a den of lions. Then the king signed it. He didn't know that it was because of Daniel. You know, then Daniel refused to bow and he fell right inside. So it's like the people came to the king and said, well, you know, you already signed these things. We have to apply the law for fairness. You see, and the Bible said the king said in himself, I would deliver him. Wow. Yeah. So you see, sometimes they have said, nobody can work here. If you take more than 14 days off in a year, you're out. You understand? Yeah. Then your boss, who likes you, suddenly finds that his favorite preferred servant has landed inside. Don't be surprised if they call for a meeting and say, you know, this 14-day rule, can we change it to 21? Wow. Yeah. He has set himself to deliver you. Yes. Because he wants you. Yeah. When people like something, they just change it. They just change it. I heard that the Chinese people have changed their constitution. Now their president can be on for life. Yeah, last week or so. Yeah, they just amended their constitution. Now their president, his name is what? He or Xi. X-I. Yeah. They say he can now be their president for life. Yeah. Everything can be changed. Amen. So work for loving favor. Amen. Work for loving favor. Find what it takes to be liked. And do exactly that. And you will see that you are above the rules by the grace of God. Amen. You know, let me hurry up and make sure I can get through this. Right. So they took Daniel and they put him in the lion's den. Right. Then, verse 16. Then the king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Yeah. This is the king. You know, we are talking about being servants of the Lord and the protection that servants of the Lord receive. He said, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver you. He will deliver you. Your God that you serve continually, the one you've been praying to, the one you've been witnessing for, the one you've been going on outreach to share and talk about, he will deliver you. This is the king. He said, I know your God will deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king, see, when people hate you, you know, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. You know, the boss is fasting for them. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? It's all about serving him. He said, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. No manner of hurt will be found on you because you believe in your God. Hallelujah. He believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. Don't forget the point. The point is that they will be cut off. Your enemies will be cut off. They brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives. So you have to be careful who you marry. You can easily end up in the den of lions because of this unfortunate husband. Do you get it? Yeah. You know, and which had them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the den. When Daniel was in, the lions lost their appetite. Daniel said, the angel of the Lord came to shut the mouths of the lions. The angel of the Lord will shut the mouths of those that are against you. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you're a servant. Remember, it's all about the servant. When the king came, said, Daniel, servant of the Most High. This is the boss calling his servant, servant of the Most High. Daniel worked for him and he knew it. But he knew that apart from that, Daniel was a servant of God. You know, and so the king even recognized that this Daniel, he's a servant of God. You know, your boss must recognize that you are a servant of God. Yes, you are a servant of God. So the king said, Daniel, servant of God, please, is the God whom you have been serving able to deliver you? I'm the boss you've been serving. I was not able to deliver you. I had to put you in the lion's den. But there is a greater boss that you have. And he said that he has been able to deliver you. Amen. He brought the people. He put them there. Then Darius wrote unto all people, 25 nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Look very quickly at Daniel chapter 3. You have another story. Daniel's other friends, they are also in the same situation. Do you get it? Another trap is set for them. You see, some people tell the king that there are some boys here, they like to work their own schedule. You get, when we want to work, they say they are praying, you know. So please make a law that no one should pray to God for some time. The king also just signed the thing. Sometimes when people are advising you, you have to look deeper into why they are saying what they are saying. Because people have a cunning way of, you know, making you do something which if you had the full picture, you wouldn't have done. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, and that's what they did to him. And he also said, yeah, Nebuchadnezzar, and he signed it. Before he knew it, these guys have to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Do you see? But when you read from verse 24, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember, God sent his angel to shut the mouths of the lions. And God sent his angel in the book of Revelation to tell the four angels with the winds to pause. Says, hold on. Nothing evil is going to happen until I mark all my servants. I need to mark all my servants so that they are not part of this. Hallelujah. God will mark you as you serve him. Amen. You are important to him. When you get on the plane, because you are on the plane, because you are on the plane, everything will work okay, because you just got onto the plane. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. When you enter a shopping mall, wicked people come to the place, because you are still there, because you are still there, the angel of the Lord will cancel it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. When God's servants are in a place, angels come there. Yeah, you cannot see it. It's Daniel who told us that an angel had been sent to lock the mouth of lions. Something that ordinarily should eat you up very quickly. And you can see the lions were not sick. How do we know that? Because the next day, they ferociously ate the whole family. You get it? They ate all those families. You get it? So animals that can eat families, when they got this one person, they couldn't eat him. Just one. Amen. Then it says, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 26, came to the mouth of the burning furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then he says, ye servants of the Most High God. So it's all about servants. Do you understand? He said, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. And the princes and the captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. You couldn't even smell fire on them. Servants of God in fire. When the fire is over, you can't even smell it on them. It is a great thing to be a servant of the Lord. Try to upgrade, move from I'm a child of God. Child of God is as many as believed on him. He gave them power to become sons of God. That's believing, receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You have become a child of God. That's level one. Do you understand? That's level one. No one enjoys much at level one. Even at your workplace. Entry level, there's nothing. Even you can't get vacation. You wear uniform. But those who have advanced and who have gone to higher levels in the thing, they don't even give them vacation days. You just take as you need. It's a different level. So move up and become a servant of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Look at this verse. It says, the fire had no power on them, nor was an hair of their head singed. I mean, even when you comb your hair, you can't seem to comb it without losing hair. But these people have gone into fire, and fire says, we leave your hair intact because you are servants of God. And you see the Son of Man followed them into the fire. So, you know, when you're a servant of God, it doesn't mean you will not go through fire. Do you understand? But who is with you in the fire is where the difference is. Who is in the fire with you? That is what determines the effect. How you come out of the fire is because of who is with you inside the fire. So don't be afraid of fires. Don't be afraid of difficult circumstances and painful experiences. Don't be afraid, because when it's over, we will not even smell it on you. We will not even smell it on you. There will be no trace of the fire on you, because God himself will be with you. You see, then it says, then verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel
Do you see? So God is sending angels all the time. Anytime I get on the plane, I say, Lord, thank you for my angel. So my angel has come here. Do you understand? Yeah, my angel, he doesn't need boarding pass, doesn't need TSA. TSA can never stop my angel. He's not even going to come through there. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. When you sit in your car, believe that the angel of the Lord is with you. Believe it. When you're walking at night, believe that the angel of the Lord is with you. Believe it. Instead of believing that evil spirits are with you and becoming frightened by it, instead of believing that demons have come to you and becoming frightened by it, believe rather, because it takes the same faith to believe in angels as to believe in demons. Do you understand? Yeah, some of us have too much faith in demons. You can see them everywhere. Yeah, see them in people. There's a demon here. There's a demon here. There's a demon here. You get it? Even when you have something nice, you want to hide it because there's a demon. This is a demon. This one is a demon. Somebody wants to shake your hand. You put your hand. You try to avoid the person because there's a demon there. You can see demons everywhere. What about angels? Why can't you also see angels everywhere? Because the Bible says angels are ministering spirits to those who receive salvation. When you receive salvation, God releases angels to come and be with you. Hallelujah. So there are angels with you. Amen. Angels with you. And the Lord sent his angel and he has delivered who? He has delivered who? Look at verse 28. The Lord God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Hallelujah. So, the last thing is that it is a great thing to serve the Lord because all those who hate you will be ashamed. All those who hate you will be ashamed. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 9. It says, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Can you see that? Yeah. Verse next. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. Hallelujah. They will be ashamed and confounded. Those who are incensed against you as a servant of God. Do you know sometimes some people seem to be incensed against you? They don't like you. You don't understand why they don't like you. But the Bible says they will be ashamed. Yeah. If you don't like me, you will be ashamed. Yeah. You will be ashamed. According to the Bible, they will be ashamed and they will be confounded. To be confounded means to be baffled. Amen. Amen. They will be ashamed. They will be confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. You know, you should be very careful. That's why you shouldn't join people to fight against servants of God. Do you understand? Don't fight against servants of God. Don't fight against pastors. Don't criticize pastors. Get out of that game. Do you understand? Stop talking about somebody's servants. Amen. Stop gossiping, fighting, accusing, criticizing somebody's servant, because he's not going to take it lightly. Look at all these things that God has heaped up against people. He said, me, I have called you and I've set you aside and I say you are my servant.
He said, anybody who is incensed against thee will be ashamed. Will be ashamed. You know, when I went to El Salvador, no, Pastor Paul, you were there. The guy, there was one of the places we went to. The pastor was telling us the story of a piece of land. Next, like literally next door. Like this is a church building. The land behind it. You know, I just saw the land and I said, you know, it would be good if you get this land and add it to your church. Yeah. Then he started telling us the story. I think I asked him first, how did you even get this spot? Because it's like a real prime spot. As you come up the road, the church is like right there on the corner. So I asked him, how did you even get this building? Then he said, let me tell you the story. He said they have these sugarcane plantations that are like right somewhere down there, and the trucks load up sugarcane and they keep passing. There was this one building here. Every time, you know, he had gone to approach the owner of the building to give it to them to use for church. They were meeting across the road somewhere else. And the owner of the building would not. You know, he said every time the sugarcane trucks would pass, then the sugarcane, the truck is loaded with sugarcane. As they turn, they damage the building. Every time it would pass, and then it would damage the building. Then the owner has to fix it. Then so the owner got fed up and he sold it to him. Then he got it. Then he asked the guy, can I have the land behind it? He said the next thing the guy said was that the land is for his daughter. He said, Pastor, can you believe it? Within 1 year, the daughter was dead. Yeah, the daughter died. Then he went to ask the man again, can you give me the land? Then the man said he was using it to do like, he built a greenhouse. You know, yeah, he built a greenhouse there. Actually, I think the greenhouse was first, the greenhouse before the daughter. So the greenhouse was there, and he said, because of the greenhouse, I won't sell it to you. I won't give it to you. Then the man said, a wind. They had some winds. And the wind came. It destroyed the whole thing. Yeah. So it was after the greenhouse that he gave the land now to his daughter. And when the man asked for it again, he said, now I've given that land to my daughter. Then within a year, his daughter died. And then the land was there. So now the land is still there. He said he's about to go and ask the man again. No, you really have to be careful. You really have to be. This God thing, it's either real or it's not. Do you understand? Yeah. Do you see? Yeah. He says, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded, and they will be as nothing. You sentence yourself to becoming nothing, nothing. You become nothing. Yeah. And I've seen that. I've seen it many times. I've seen lands and so on, even in the building of our Bible school. You know, I've seen people who refuse to sell their land and then they die. Then the next relative comes and says, the land is for sale. And we just buy it. No, it's real. These things are real. They'll be as nothing. People who talk about pastors, talk about men of God, talk about all these kinds of things. You know, you really have to be very careful. When God places his hand on someone and God chooses to use that person, you have to be very, very, very careful, because God doesn't like it when people behave a certain way towards his servants. Do you understand? Even the government knows. I mean, you can shoot anybody and be in trouble enough, but if you shoot a police officer, that's a lot of trouble. Do you see? Yeah. All they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed. And the only reason is because I have called you my servant. And I say, you are my servant. You can't do that.
When our church used to be in a place called Kolegono in Ghana, we had so many people who were fighting against us. You know, all of those people are either dead or they've become nothing. Nothing. I heard about Ida Hosa. Ida Hosa is the name of a Nigerian preacher, you know, who is dead now. But he went to a place and he was trying to build, I think, a wall or something. And the people in the neighborhood said they wouldn't allow it. And they came to come and break down the wall. Then he came out and then he made a proclamation. He said, one block, one life. He said, anyone who comes to break down this thing, for every block that goes down, somebody in this town will die. And the people started to die in the town. The servant of God. You don't joke with the servant of God. That's what God is giving to you. God is upgrading. This is not only for preachers. You get it? It's not only for preachers. It's for anybody who is a servant of God. You get it? You have somebody who doesn't like you. Don't be surprised. You don't worry. You just relax. You go there one day, you see he's no longer there. Person doesn't work there anymore. Yeah. They've transferred him. He lost his job. You see someone who is trying to fire you. You go there and you see he has been fired. Yeah. And if God allows that person to fire you, then God is using that person to get you out of there. Do you understand? And you shouldn't worry about those things. If God moves you out of a place, he's only taking you to a better place. He has his purpose, and allow his purpose to work. But really, 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 there's no one who can lift up a hand against the servant of God successfully. It will not work. They will become as nothing. They will be ashamed and confounded. They that strive with thee shall perish. Amen. They that strive with thee shall what?
Perish.
They will perish. They that strive with thee shall perish. Hallelujah. So, these are the blessings of protection for the servant of God. Is it not a great thing to be a servant of God? Hallelujah. Finish reading that verse. It says, for thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Amen.
Amen.
May all your enemies be ashamed.
Amen.
I said, may all your enemies be ashamed.
Amen.
Those who speak against you, may they all be ashamed.
Amen.
Those who seek your downfall, may they all be ashamed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Those who said you will amount to nothing, they will rather become nothing.
Amen.
Did you see the verse? He said, yeah. He said, they will be, where is it? It says, yeah, they shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. Do you know what naught means? Zero. Yeah. You ask somebody for their phone number and it says 75 naught. Means zero. In math, not. Okay, the science students are speaking. They have a deeper understanding of not. Yeah? Do you get it? It's not. They shall be as a thing of not.
Don't be afraid of these people. Some God allows, you see, when they were doing it to Daniel, God allowed it to happen. And he landed, he went all the way to the lion's den. But God had not left him. Amen. So don't be afraid. Sometimes some people will engineer, and before you know it, you've lost your job. But don't worry. Don't worry. God is with you.
Amen.
They will become a thing of not. As it will become zero. Yeah. The other day I heard that some people have taken a petition around to the neighbors to ask us to leave this place. Yeah, they're sending signatures around so they sign us so we can leave this place. And I said to myself, you see, somebody wants to die. Somebody wants to become a thing of naught. Yeah. Somebody wants to do something. You send petition around. We are church. What are we doing here? Are we a nightclub? They have parties here all the time. All the time. Through the night. We are just serving God, and as we are, even so, you, do you know that sometimes even our happiness annoys people?
Oh, yeah.
So that's why you have to be discreet. Yeah. Some people just can't stand your happiness. Yeah. It's like, why I live in this neighborhood, I'm sad and depressed. You people, you come here every time Sunday, you seem to be happy, endless chatting, and so on and so forth. And some people are jealous of those kinds of things. But I'm encouraged by these scriptures. Yeah, I'm encouraged by these scriptures. Amen. That God will fight for us. I said our God will fight for us. Your God will fight for you. Trent, your God whom you serve, he will fight for you. Your God will fight for you. Yeah. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your blessing today in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity to be your servants. Yes, thank you for your grace extended to us to make us who didn't deserve it and who still don't deserve it really into servants of God. Thank you. Thank him, everybody. Thank him for the opportunity he has given for you to serve him, for you to be his servant. The Lord, I don't want to be just a child of God. I don't want to be just a member, but I want to be a servant of God. I want to be a servant of God. I want to be a servant of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the privilege. Thank him for the privilege. Everybody, thank him for the privilege. 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 Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing. Tell him, I want to serve you with my life. I want to serve you the rest of my life. Every day of my life, I want to be a servant of God. Serving you with all that I have. Yes. I want to be a servant of God. I want to be your servant, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being included among your servants. It's a blessing, Lord. It is a great thing to serve a great God. Thank you. Thank you for including us. Thank you for your angels who are with us.
You send angels to be with us. You send angels to halt destruction because of us. You place a mark on each of us because we are your servants. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your blessing, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, as we close the service, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. That's where it all begins. To give your life to Jesus. To become a child of God. That's where it begins. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone here who wants to give your life to Jesus today? Raise up your right hand and I'll pray for you. Is there anyone here like that? You want to give your life to Jesus today. You want your sins to be forgiven. You want to be a child of God. You want to be sure that when you die, you will go to heaven. Is there anyone here like that? Raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone here like that? Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Say, I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth that God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart, Jesus. Please forgive my sins. Let your blood wash me, Lord. And let your blood cleanse me. Make me a child of God. And say, Lord Jesus, today I want to be your servant also. I want to be a servant of God. More than a child of God. I want to be one who serves. I want to be a child who serves in the house. Not a child who does not serve. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Just let's have communion. Father, we thank you for the bread. We thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for the seal, O God, that you place on your children. The Passover lamb, the blood that marks your people and excludes them from destruction.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. Redeem these elements, Lord. Let every sick person be healed. Let sickness be healed, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Say with me, the body of Jesus Christ. You may eat the bread. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the seal, the mark on your life, I will pass over you. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. As we drink this, let it remark us, Lord. Let it remark, let the mark be renewed, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say the blood of Jesus Christ. You may drink. Thank you. Lift up your hands. Let me pray for you. Father, anyone who has been marked for premature death, Lord, among us, may the angel of the Lord exclude them by placing your seal upon your servants in the name of Jesus. We declare that we will not be victims of accidents, freak accidents, in the name of Jesus. Houses will not collapse upon us, in the name of Jesus. Because we are your servants, oh God, we are your servants. We surrender our lives afresh today as servants of the Most High God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your protection. We pray, Lord, that our enemies be cut off. The ones who afflict our soul, Lord, may they all be cut off. The enemies of financial difficulty, the enemies of ill health, Lord, every kind of enemy and anything that has become a source of frustration and a source of unhappiness for us, in the name of Jesus, let that thing be cut off. Let it be cut off. Let it be cut off, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And let its power over us be terminated. Let it become as nothing. Let it become as nothing, Lord. Let it become as naught, oh God. Unpaid bills, oh God. Let them become as nothing in the name of Jesus. We pray against people who have become incensed against us. People who are angry with us. People who are jealous of us. People who don't like us for no reason, oh God. Turn it all against them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Turn it all against them, Lord. Turn it all against them, in the name of Jesus. Those who are planning and scheming to move us out of this place, in the name of Jesus, let their plans come to nothing. Raise up in this very neighborhood voices that will speak for us. Voices that will speak for us. People who will fight for us, in the name of Jesus. Let their counsel come to nothing. Lord, people who have grouped against us at our workplaces, whispering things to the boss, to supervisors, people who are working behind the scenes to make us lose our places. Lord, may they lose their place, Lord. Let them lose their place, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Because we are servants of God. We are servants of God. And our God, whom we serve continually, is able to deliver us. from the mouth of anything that represents a lion, anything that seeks to devour your people, oh God, may we be delivered from the mouth of lions, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Yes. No lion shall devour any of your people. The lions of death shall not devour your people. I said the lions of death shall not devour your people. The lions of ill health shall not devour your people. In the name of Jesus, no lion shall devour the people of God. In the name of Jesus, because we are your servants. You said you will give people for our life. You will give people for our lives, Lord. Let that be our story in Jesus' name. Thank you for your blessing. And everybody says amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord.